been good to be in the Lord's house already? I tell you, I sense the Lord's presence, and praise God. When we sense His presence, we ought to give Him praise. Amen. It's not always that you, every place that you go, that you can sense the Lord's presence. So we are blessed beyond measure. And I can't believe, you know, well, here I am, can't believe, but many times God confirms. He changed my message this week. That's a scary thing for a guy that's going to preach. He changed it right in the middle of the week. And so it's like, whoa, wait a minute. It's one of those deals. But you know when he's doing that. And then he confirmed it through the songs. I think Brittany and the choir, it just tied right along. And he let me know, hey, I've got this. And that's what we want. We want to hear a word from the Lord today. I have been running now for exercise for about 15 years. It don't show a whole lot, but I do run. If I didn't run, I'd be as big as this pulpit right here. But this week has been one of the most beautiful weeks I have ever. I can say I go out railroad grade. I can say it's one of the most beautiful times in my life of 15 years that I've ever run. And as I was making that run, here's the deal. I don't know what you're going through, and some of you have brought some heavy burdens in here this morning. If we knew it, some of the things that people carry around and they bring into God's house, this is, as I've already said, a place of solace. Be encouraged today. This is the place you need to be. This is the place that you can leave your burdens behind. As I made that turnout railroad grade, right there where the road comes up Big Hill in that curve right there, those trees greeted me Tuesday morning. And it was absolutely on fire! On fire! There was a woodhead up on the hill hollering. There was a big old fish eagle carrying a smallmouth, and he was screaming to the top of his lungs down the New River. And I thought, you know what he's doing? He's singing his praises to God this morning. And I could be loaded up about things, and for a moment I had this epiphany. Everything in my life, any burdens, it was just lifted. And I had this view of God and this touch of God. It was like, I can't even put it in expressions of words. And it was like God just touched me. And it was all surrounded as, you know what? People say, well, I believe in a higher power. I believe there's a God. But, you know, like the deists believe, he just winds it up, turns it loose, and he don't have anything to do with his creation. We have a God that speaks. How does God speak is the title of our lesson this morning. We all want to be spoken to by God. How does He speak? I want us to see that today. And it had to be as a psalmist was writing Psalms 19. That's where we're going to be in your Word today. Turn to that. As the psalmist David was penning these words, he had to have one of those moments that I had the privilege of having this week. Where that lightness in our soul, be encouraged this morning, be lightened. God hears, God sees, and God's not silent. He speaks. He speaks. And I want us to look at that this morning in Psalms 19. The psalmist had to have one of those times. I want all of us to experience that this morning. Those times where we sense God's presence, we hear Him speak. Let's stand to our feet and reverence God as we're reading God's Word. Psalms 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day utters speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them He has set a tabernacle for the sun, which is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, and He rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end, and there is nothing hidden from its heat. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse me from secret faults. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much. Thank you that you speak. You touch our hearts. You're here with us today. I want to pray for that one that's carrying a burden. I want to pray for that one that doesn't know you as personal Savior. I want you to touch them today. Speak to them expressively through your word. And we'll praise you. Hide me behind the cross. May your word go forth and touch our lives for your glory. In Christ's name, you may be seated. C.S. Lewis said of Psalms 119, it's the greatest poem in the Psalter. One of the greatest lyrics in the world. Beautiful words. I want us to see how God speaks to us this morning. How does God speak? Actually, we're going to see in this psalm, he speaks to us in two books. The book of nature and the book of his word. And the psalmist saw this as he's looking out and he's standing. I can almost get a picture when we see the beautiful creation that we had and the leaves and what we're surrounded by. If we're not careful, we'll miss the trees for the cows. He said, what are you talking about? I was out riding a youth group and we were going to eat. And you know how youth, they grow up here. They grew up here. And a lot of you have grown up here also. And if you're not careful, you just kind of comes old hat and callous because you see this beauty and you're surrounded by it. But we're right down the road going to eat. And I said, look at that. How beautiful. And Riley Henderson, Bailey's brother, said, what, the cows? The cows. If we're not careful, we'll miss the trees for the cows. The beauty of God's creation that surrounds us daily. We live in a utopia here of beauty. And the psalmist, he had to be one of those outside guys. And you know what? Sometimes when you're needing a touch from God and you're dragging burdens, just go outside. Go outside and listen to the birds. See the trees. Hear the river. Experience God. And that's what the psalmist is talking about right here. Look at 1 through 6. God speaks through nature. Two books for us to study and to look at. And the first one is nature, 1 through 6. And look what the psalmist says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. That word declare and shows is a present tense. It's a continuous thing. It's an ongoing thing. It doesn't stop. And what's it doing? It's declaring the glory of God. You want to see the glory of God? Get outside and look at his beauty. Feel the land. Experience this time of year. You want to hear God speak? Look at his glory through his creation. He says the firmament, which is talking about the sky. When he's talking about the heavens, he's talking about the moon and the stars and the sun. And when he's saying the firmament, he's talking about the sky, the place where the birds fly, where the clouds float. He's saying all these things speak of God and point back to him. And the psalmist is bound to be having one of those moments where his countenance is lifted and his burdens are lightened because he's experienced the God, the creation all around him. How is it that people can get out and say there is no God? In fact, this same psalmist said only a fool says in his heart there is no God. How can you miss God in the beauty of his creation? How can we? And he senses it here, man. He says he speaks through the heavens speak of his glory. And it shows his handiwork. The flowers, man, y'all have some beautiful flowers up here. They bloom, different ones all the time. Some of them, I was showing Sandy, I said, what kind of flower is that? And it's blooming right now. It's frosted already. It's what, third frost already this morning? And they're blooming. It's beauty. And you know what? Jesus said, even Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed as one of these. You can look and see God. How can you miss seeing God in that beauty of his creation? It shouts, it's this ongoing. And that ongoing, this present tense of the verbs, look, it goes on into verse 2. Day into day utter speech. This whole idea of it declaring and keeps showing. Day into day utter speech. And night into night reveals knowledge. That utters actually is a word that we get that means to bubble. To bubble up like a spring. You ever see some of these springs that just come out of the ground? Fresh water, man. yeah, I'll stop and get a drink every now and then. I'm not worried about catching something. It's beautiful. It's bubbling forth. It's springing forth. And he said, that's what it does. Says, day after day, it utters its speech. It bubbles forth. It's saying it's oozing God everywhere. That's what he's saying. It's just oozing it up. And night after night, when me and Sandy and I got to travel over to Kenya, man, at night, I know they thought we were crazy. The whole team is out here looking out in the yard like this. And we stood there for hours. You could see every star. They didn't have, you know, they don't have electricity and all, so there's no light to take away. And you could just be amazed at the Milky Way and the millions and billions of stars. You could even see little satellites, man. You could see it all going through. And we just stood there. My neck got a crick in it from looking up so long. And here's the deal, and yet we have scientists and we have all these great people that they spend millions and billions of dollars trying to search for life outside of planet, and are actually looking past God trying to see something and find something. And God, there's no end to it. And it's the night of the night, it pours out. Just get out under the stars and say, wow, God. We're not careful, boy, in our scientific and our knowledge, and we miss everything because humanistic scientists think that we're the apex. I hate to think that we're the top of the chain in our sinfulness. Look what we do. Just turn on the news. And yet they look and spin. There's satellites out there that's searching the universe for life. I wonder why they haven't found it in our vast knowledge. In our vast knowledge of knowing everything, why have they not found it up more inhabited planets? If they did, God created it. We're not going to find it. God had a plan and a purpose. And it was here on earth. He said, night after night, it pours forth. It springs and it bubbles up. It lets everything be known. Look at verse 3. There's no speech nor language. Do you hear it when you go outside? When I heard that old fish hawk screaming, hollering, thanking the Lord for his fish, or the wood hen up on the hill hollering, is that speech and it's saying, God? No. It's not with an audible ear. It's with an eye, and it's a thing that hollers out. Everything in the universe gives praise to its creator except us many times. You say, how does it glorify? How does it worship God? By being what God created it to be. Sings out, it calls out. And this, when we look at creation, when I look at the stars, when I look at the sun and the moon, is he going to start looking at the sun? And when I see all these, that big full moon that come out yesterday, did you see that? When it's on that horizon, that optical, man, it just gives you that, it looks like it's huge, beautiful. Is it speaking in my voice and saying, here I am? It doesn't do an audible thing. It's the wordless word. Points to God. And we're surrounded in that environment. Points to God. There is no speech nor language. Everybody can hear it. Everybody can understand it. It doesn't matter where you're at in the world. Everybody understands. Their line has gone out. That's actually their word is a better translation. Their word has gone out through all the earth and their words to the end of the world. In other words, this takes care of that theoretical man on the island. What about the man on the island that never heard about Jesus? We know, and we're going to hear in the summary of this, he's without excuse because God has made a creation to draw him unto himself. The God-side void that every man is born with, every man, boy, child, everybody that is born has a God-sized void there. And they have an urge to worship. You know what? If they don't worship the Creator, what do they create? What do they worship? The created. Why are there all these religions and all these understandings around the world? It's because man is born with a worship void in his heart. And God's given them creation to draw him unto himself. In fact, Romans tells us that he's without excuse in all things, and we'll talk about that as we finish up, because I want you to see the message is for all. There's no people in the world that don't get the message of creation that says, I'm God, I'm here, I'm in control of everything. Well, not only does the heavens speak of his glory, but look, the sun speaks of his glory in 4b and 6. Look what he says. In them he has set the tabernacle for the sun. Like a tent The psalmist saw the sky like a tent. And he set this tabernacle for the sun. So not only is he looking at all the heavens of creation, but he's looking at the sun. I sure am glad it came up this morning. What about you? 93.2 million miles from the earth, and yet we're on the third rock from it, and everything's just right. The angle, the axis of the earth, the rotation of the earth, everything's just right that we can have life. By the way, it's turning at 1,000 miles an hour, and we're on an orbit over 15,000 miles an hour out through space. We're on that ride. Do you feel it? It's called gravity. God put it all into place. He put it all into place in the sun. So the psalmist is starting to focus and seeing the sun, and he's saying, man, the sun is, we depend on it for our life. God put it there for a purpose, to give us life and to sustain life for us. And look, I love it because he gives us two metaphors. Look at what he says. In a tower, which is like a bridegroom coming forth from his chamber. He says that the sun's like a bridegroom. What's he talking about? He's single-focused. Let me tell you what, on my wedding day, I love to hunt and fish. I love basketball and football, but guess what? I wasn't focused on any of that. I was focused on my bride getting married. And that sun, he says, single-focused. He comes up in his brilliance, and it's going out. It's like it was meeting his bride for that day. No, no, look what his next thing, metaphor he gives us. He says, and it rejoices like a strong man, like a champion in its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the other end. There's nothing hidden from its heat. He says, not only like a groom, but it's like a great champion. It's running a race. You know what? Every day it runs its circuit. Aren't you glad? Every day the sun comes up and heat. These same trees that are so beautiful, the sun causes photosynthesis. It takes in our carbon dioxide and gives off oxygen for us. Is that just a chance happening? It takes more faith to believe that we came from a single cell amoeba in some ooze than God saying, let there be. We'll find any way to get God out of the equation, because if we can get him out of the equation, we're not accountable to him. We're not accountable. That's what we want. We don't want to be accountable to a God and what he's given for us to live by. We don't want to be accountable. So if we can make ourselves into monkeys or amoebas or whatever way you want to come up with, then we're not accountable to a God, a creator God. He said that sun's like that champion running the race. And then I want you to see, when we finish up here, God's glory, wisdom, and greatness are made visible for all to see. And here's what Romans 1:19-20 says, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his visible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Nobody has an excuse. That creation draws all men unto God, the Creator. Without excuse, Paul says. His invisible attributes, his power, his glory, his unfailing grace. Nature bubbles forth the knowledge of God day and night. This knowledge is not verbal, but it's visible, heard with the eyes, not the ears. Next time you've got a problem, a burden, go outside. Just experience God sometime. Let him give you a hug. Let him bring you comfort. The humanist, he sees less of God when he's looking at the universe. He's still looking for answers. The superstitious people, they find more of the universe saying more things than what it says. Astrology, oh, we can look at the stars and tell our future. It's saying more than what they say it's saying. We've got to see God through nature, but we've got to listen clearly and accurately and truthfully to experience God in his creation and his nature. Well, not only does God speak through nature, but look at 7-14. God speaks through Scripture. General revelation, or nature, leaves man without excuse. It's enough to condemn him, but it's not enough to convert him. God's greatest book that he speaks through is Scripture. Scripture reveals the character of God to us. That's where the psalmist switches gear at 7. And look, I want us to see Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. You don't have to turn it up. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be completely, thoroughly equipped in every good work. It's God-breathed. And it's profitable for our lives. We should be reading it. John 17, when Jesus is praying for his disciples, he's getting ready to leave this earth. He says, sanctify, and Father, sanctify them through your truth. Thy word is truth. In a world that says there is no absolute truth, I contend you there is, and it's God's word. It doesn't vacillate. It's not relative to the situation. It is truth. It is truth. It doesn't say, well, if you want to believe that, that's okay, but that's not truth to me. That is not truth. That is a lie. God's word is truth. And David, in this, he highlights not nine marvelous truths as he's going down through there. Let's cover them quickly. Look at one. The law of the Lord is perfect in restoring. It's perfect and it strengthens. God's word does that in our life. It's restoring or converting the soul. Literally, instruction for all that you want to know is here in God's word. It's perfect, lacking nothing. It converts the soul. It renews, it refreshes, it revives. It brings the soul back to where it belongs. Not only that, but it's sure and gives wisdom. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. Praise God. You don't have to have a degree to understand God's word. Making wise and simple, the testimony of the Lord is sure. It gives sure. It is sure and gives wisdom. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise and simple. Testimony is the Scripture, is God's own witness of who He is and what He requires of us. It's sure. That means it's true and trustworthy. It is right. It brings joy. Look at verse 8. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. Right, that means never wrong. Rejoicing the heart. Does your heart need joy? Dive into the Word of God. That's what the psalmist said. It brings joy. Number 4, it is pure and provides direction. Verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The commandment is what He expects from us. It's pure, devoid of sin or malice or corruption, not unclear, enlightening the eyes. It brings understanding so we know how to live. We don't have to guess how to live. This is our parameter. This is our guideline. This is God's Word. It is clean and endures forever. Verse 9. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. Fear of the Lord is a reverence, a respect for God in our lives. And it's never out of style or never out of season. Here we are, 2013, still sitting under the preaching of God's Word. Never out of style, never out of season. It is true and righteous altogether. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. Judgments are divine decision and human conduct. True, never false, never off the mark. The only barometer for reality. You want a barometer for reality in your life? Get in God's Word. Righteous altogether, the standard of rightness. Never any guesswork. Well, number 10, it's valuable and priceless. Look what he says. More to be desired than gold. Better than much fine gold. It's better than all the world has to offer you, my friend. Career, education, you name it. Psalmist said there's nothing that compares. Nothing compares to the greatness of knowing the Lord through His Word. And then he says in 10, it's delicious and sweet. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Honey is sweet to the tongue. The Bible is sweet to the soul. Honey only satisfies for a moment. The Bible satisfies forever the longings of our heart. I like good honey. I do. Got to eat it from around the world. I try to get honey from anywhere that I go. I like honey. But you know what Psalmist says? There's nothing sweeter than God's Word. In delighting our soul. And then number 11, it said it's helpful and rewarding. Moreover, by them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. The Bible alerts us to sin and warns us of spiritual danger. It warns us how and how not to live. Obeying the Word brings not reward, but great reward. We all want to have great reward in our life. Psalmist says, live by the Word of God. And then I love, as he goes in here to verse 12, I want you to see the psalmist is
looked at creation. He's looked at God's Word.
You know, we all have this. As many people have given their life. Men have died over the centuries for this Word. And we have it laying around. We're probably our nation's the most illiterate biblically it's ever been. You go overseas, you'll take mission teams overseas, and they're going to say, okay, we're going to teach Bible school, and they'll get up and say, this is God's Word. Those kids probably know more Bible than they've ever learned in their life. We're the ones that's so illiterate, we think we're so much champions of God's Word. Why? Because we leave it laying around. We don't study it. We rely on some preacher to get up and preach it to us on Sunday morning, and yet we don't feast on it through the week. We don't learn from it and let God teach us. Our biblical illiteracy comes out in our society, in our culture. And the psalmist here, he said, he's got to look at God through creation. He's looking at God through His Word. You know what he does? Once we see God in His purpose, in His place, we start seeing ourselves where we are too. God, when we see God in our perspective on where He is and His holiness and righteousness, Creator of everything, then we start seeing our insignificance in ourselves, our sinfulness. We start seeing, and that's what the psalmist in 12, look what he said, who can understand His errors? He sees God, he sees himself. And he says, cleanse me from secret faults. He starts dealing, then he starts looking inside. He's quit looking at creation. He's quit looking at God's Word, and then he starts seeing, looking inside. And he says, start cleanse me from secret faults. Cleanse me from those things that I'm, you know what, being one of those guys. Everybody else can see it in you, but you're too stupid to. I'm one of those guys. If you see something, you've got the right to let it corrected in my life. Please don't let me be one of those guys or one of those gals. We think everything's all right with our life, but if we get corrected, we get all puffed up and pout. And David said, don't let me be one of those guys. And he says, keep me for your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. And then he goes past, not the ones that don't understand, but the ones that I do understand, and I blatantly rebel against you, Lord. You see, he's got to see, he saw God. It's just like Isaiah when he said in chapter 6, when he saw God high and lifted up, what did he do? He said, whoa, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in amongst unclean people. He sees God in His proper place, and that's what the psalmist is seeing here. He's starting to say, dealing with sin, then I shall be blameless, and I shall be innocent of great transgression. You know what the psalmist said? He said, it's all up to God. He created it. I see it in His Word. Now I'm looking at myself. I see sin and the tendencies of sin in my life. Lord, I'm relying on You for forgiveness. Praise God. We serve a God that's forgiving this morning. Like I said, I don't know what you might have brought in here or the troubles that you might have, or you might have come in here lost. You can leave here saved. You can know the Lord Jesus Christ, the one that created all heaven and all earth. And He created you, and He sustained you, and He made the sun come up, and He made all this beautiful, this nature that you live in. But He also desires to have a relationship with you. He desires it so much that He sent His very best. And Jesus came, and He lived on this earth, and He died on a cross. And they buried Him, but on the third day He arose. And that's the gospel, and that's the greatest thing that you can receive today. And you can have that relationship with Jesus Christ. You can understand as a psalmist, you know, I need forgiveness for my sin. Everybody that's ever drawn a breath does. We all sin and fall short of the glory of God. He said, I shall be innocent of great transgression. The only way that we're innocent of our transgression is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now I want you, please don't miss this last part. As I was studying this out, it was like one of those things where you know the Lord had to give it to you because you're not smart enough to see it, okay? So please don't miss this. And look what He says, because we probably know this verse. We've heard this very many times. He says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer. You know what He's doing? He's referencing back to verse 1 there. He's looked out and He's seen all creation and all the heaven. And He's talking about creation, but this verse 14 is dealing with a recreation. The psalmist realizes after he's seen God, he's seen himself, he realizes he's only forgiven by God, that his life is a testimony unto God just like creation is. Just like nature out here is. Are we missing out on that? That let the meditation, the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in Your sight, O God,
my strength and my redeemer. Everything that we have, everything that we are, every breath that we take, we owe to God. You know what the psalmist more or less said? You know what? Creation speaks of His handiwork, but also the recreation in my heart speaks of that handiwork also. And there's a lost world out here that needs to see that in each and every one of our lives. The God that created it all, He also recreated my heart. And He saved an old sinful person like me. And if He can save me, He can save you. Let me share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's what we are to do as His creation, to go out every day, no matter where He places you, and you let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable unto you. My strength and my redeemer. Have you been redeemed today? That's the question. How do we respond to this message? What are you dealing with in your life this week? Or maybe over the past couple weeks or months or maybe even years? Have you got heavy burdens? Are you dealing with things in your life that you just need to lay down at the altar of God this morning and sense His presence? Surrounded by this great creation, the God that's in control of everything, He can take care of your needs. Do you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? Does the words of your mouth and the meditation of your heart, is it acceptable to God? Have you fooled around and just say, I made a profession of faith when I was little, but you know what? I'm banking my salvation on something that didn't even change my life. How are you living it out daily? I told my young people in Sunday school today, your priorities are drawn out on your life and your life choices. What are the priorities of your life this morning? I'm going to ask Linda to come and Brittany. We're going to have, I just want to have, before they start playing, I want to have a moment of silence. I want you to bow your head before the Creator God right now. No stirring around, no laughing, no giggling. Time dealing with God right now. And let's close our eyes and search your heart. See if there's things in your life that you just need to lay down at this altar. Make sure that you know that God is dwelling within your heart for a couple moments of silence before a holy God.
Jesus, I surrender all to
you.
Him
you need to lay something down this morning. Come to this altar, lay it down. If you're lost, I would love to tell you about the Lord Jesus Christ
and trust Him
the
in
God.
His presence daily. Oh.
one more verse.
All to Jesus I surrender. I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily. I surrender.
But I also want to close in prayer. Sam, if you'll close us in prayer, and I'll thank you. Remember tonight, our security meeting. Please come back. That's very important. Thank you, guys. Please don't miss out on God's creation today and just being thankful for what He's done for you. Sam.